I want to, for the opportunity today, and I know that Brother Jeff has spent time in study and to bring us the word that the Lord would have him speak to us today, and ask that each of you would say a silent prayer for Jeff in your heart, and also a prayer for yourselves, that each of us would receive today what the Lord has for us, that would help us in our service to him and guide us along his path. So I'll turn it over to you, Jeff.
All right. Thank you, Benny, and good morning, everyone. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, good morning, and I guess a couple days late, but happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I hope everyone had a joyous and a happy time with their family and their loved ones, and I hope everyone had an opportunity to give thanks for the many blessings that we have, for we are a greatly blessed people. I'm gonna dive in here, and I guess I'll kind of start off with a few thoughts and comments that I've had as I've prepared for this sermon this morning. My sermon actually kind of took a couple different directions as I was preparing, and although that doesn't surprise me, and although I find somewhat joy in that, in knowing that our Heavenly Father, or at least my hope is that our Heavenly Father is working in each of us, and sometimes when I feel those changes or those prods, I give praise to our Heavenly Father for that guidance. And ultimately, my hope is that this is words that are not of mine, but are truly words of our Heavenly Father's. I'm going to tell a little bit of a story, I guess. This past weekend, we got, as our family got some news, and as everyone, I think, probably knows by now, my Uncle Frank Fan he's really had some challenges in his life physically. And when he got back from his last trip to the Philippines, he started to get sick and started to have some problems. And really has faced some extremely challenging times. And to the point where this weekend, or this, I think it was on Wednesday afternoon, my uncle was in the hospital and he's fighting an infection and fighting some challenges that he's had, and assumed that he picked up this virus, not knowing when for sure or not knowing where for sure. We can only assume during one of his trips to the Philippines. But he's fighting this virus pretty bad. And then on Wednesday we got word that he has cancer as well, and the cancer is in his bile duct, and really has been having a physical hard time. And so we heard that news on Wednesday, and Michelle and the boys and I we came down to Kansas City on Tuesday night. And so we had a chance to go to church on Wednesday, and as we were there at church, during the season of prayer and then following the season of prayer, our brother Roland Surratt stood up, and I can tell you that, you know, as a family, definitely, and as loved ones, all very concerned for my Uncle Frank, concerned for my Aunt Carol, but our brother Roland Surratt stood up and gave a testimony. And it was during that service where I felt the leading of our Heavenly Father in a testimony of faith. And our brother Roland stood up and said, you know, all is not done. And he said that he knows that the Lord is in control, and he knows that the Lord is guiding in this situation. And so at that point, I had that impression of that testimony of faith and the thought of faith in my mind. But as I prepared and as I actually had an opportunity to go down and visit my uncle in the hospital on Friday, as he had asked my dad and I to administer to him. And as we stood there and administered to him, I had that feeling, and I had that guidance that that we truly have to understand and we truly have to accept what is the Lord's will. And so my thoughts for us today and the thoughts that I want to share are around the Lord's will and truly that acceptance and truly that understanding of the Lord's will. For, you know, so many times, and I've tried to find different articles and look up different things on the Lord's will and understanding what is the Lord's will, because unfortunately in our own hearts and our own minds, we have a will. We have a desire. Our human nature within us gives us that drive and gives us that inner push that we think we know, and truly we don't know. And my testimony is, as I stood there and as my dad had his hands on my and giving his prayer during the administration of my uncle, I had peace and I had comfort in knowing that the Lord's will, it will be done, and that no matter what happens. And so my thoughts today are around the Lord's will, and I would ask you to turn with me to 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter. And all so many times we ask, you know, that the Lord's will be done, but do we ask that in sincerity? And do we truly believe that the Lord's will be done? And that is my hope that we do. But I follow along with me in these scriptures. I'm going to start, again, I'm in 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 27th verse. "And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done." You know, and just to kind of set this up here, you know, at this point in the second book of Nephi, the verses that I skipped over earlier in this chapter, you know, talk about baptism, talk about entering in at the straight gate, entering in on the narrow way. And it continues on then and says, you know, "And now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done." And that question is being asked of us, is all done? "Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who was mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with the steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure unto the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen." You know, and I think about those verses, and I think about that challenge for us, and I'm going to call it a challenge, is that each of us is to understand the will of the Lord as human beings. That is extremely challenging to do. And unless we are directly talked to, unless we are directly guided, and my hope is that we are guided, but there are times in our lives when we've asked the Lord for his will. But how many times do we ask the Lord for his will, but we have that thought in our mind? And I guess the challenge for us is how do we truly open up our hearts and how do we truly open up our minds, not knowing what the Lord's will is, but truly accepting and truly asking that the Lord's will be done. You know, and we're given that promise. Turn with me. I'm going to go now to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Again, continuing on, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I'm going to start at the first verse. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You know, and I want to key on that first there. And that first to me is saying so much, is that now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We each have been given gifts. We each have, and we see, and we understand the talents and the gifts that each of us are given. And we each have a talent, and we each have a gift. And we each have an offering that we can do. But clearly, there is one Spirit. And that we are united, and we are brought together by that united Spirit. And that each of us may have those different gifts. And our calling and our responsibility is that we exercise those gifts for that one Spirit, for that one calling. Because truly, that is that connection to God. That is that connection to Christ that we have. Continuing on, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And that's important, and I would encourage you to highlight that. You know, you go back to the sixth verse there. It says, and there are diversities of operations. There are diversities of thoughts. Even in our own church, we know that there are those that we may have a difference of beliefs. We may have some differences in the way that we see things or the way that we interpret things. But clearly, we are called by that one Spirit. And to me, and the reason why this stands out to me, and the reason why I bring this, and why, to me, these verses help support my thought around the will of God, is that clearly, you know, we can have differences. We can have difference of thought, but there is one Spirit. There is one God. There is one Christ. There is one Holy Ghost, and we are called to them. And to unite ourselves and truly asking the Lord that His will be done. I'm going to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. And in Romans, I think these verses stood out to me. You know, it was kind of interesting when I was... studying and spending some time. I just kind of out of curiosity, I pulled up and did just kind of a Google search of God's will, right? Just to see what's out there and just to see what stood out. And it was interesting. And this verse stood out, and it was pulled up there. And so I pulled up and looked at it, and I thought it applied very much. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies. And I'm in the Romans, the 12th chapter. I'm starting at the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, it was interesting, and when I did this search and I pulled up, there was an article that popped up, and I really don't know where or anything about who this group is, or more. It was just interesting, and I guess kind of reinforced that point of knowing God's will. And this author, he writes about, he talks about how what he calls the six steps or the 10 steps, whatever it is, of learning and trying to gain insight to understanding and knowing of God's will. And he talks about, you know, ultimately it comes down to probably in his mind the most important step is truly having that open heart, you know, and that open mind, that you're willing to not put in your own opinion and your own thoughts, but truly to follow after that will of God. And there was a paragraph that stood out, and I want to read this to you. Knowing God's will, the key to everything. Christ taught us that knowing God's will and living in obedience to that will is the key to all. God is the potter. We are the clay. God keeps us spinning on his potter's will, shaping and reshaping us as he bathes our lives in tears to make us more Christ-like so he can use us for his will. Surrender daily. Keep your clay moist through daily prayers, prayer that's in accordance to his will. And you know, I mean, it's there's nothing here that we don't know, and I think that analogy and that comparison there of drawing on God's will is somewhat like that clay. You know, we each have a different shape and a different form, and we each have a difference about us, and that is what is so great. But together we have to unite our thoughts and unite our prayers and ask in that sincerity of heart that God's will be done. And you know, I think about, you know, people that I work with, and even in my own self, you know, I see that times of pride steps in, you know, times of boasting, or times of that ill competitive will, right? Competition is not a bad thing, but when it becomes ill, when it hurts others and impacts others, then it's wrong. And how much of a distractor the things in the world are to us. But truly, that calling and the responsibility that we have is that we have to remove that from our hearts, and we have to remove that from our minds. And truly, to understand the will of God, we may not totally understand. And I think there's some great examples in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon that help us understand that. Turn with me to John, the sixth chapter. And I'm in John, the sixth chapter. I'm going to start at the 35th verse. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, and you could end my comments there with that scripture. And that understanding the will of the Lord is, to me, to understand that God's will was done by the placing of his Son, Jesus Christ, here on earth, by the gift of the Holy Ghost, by that calling and that commitment and that promise that we have, that if we seek after Christ, if we seek after the will of the Lord, that we are seeking after the will of God, and that connection that we have there to him. I want to go to a story, and there's two stories that I want to reference here. And I know that these stories are not new. I have no doubt that I've shared these stories here, and I can guarantee that I will continue to share these stories. But these stories to me are ones that are great reminders and a great remembrance of understanding to me in this example of the will of the Lord and the will of God, and understanding that sometimes there are differences in maybe our understanding, but truly there is a will of God in these two great examples to me. The first one I want to read out of, and I'm going to go to 1 Nephi, the first chapter. And so I'm going to go at the very beginning of the Book of Mormon on page 6. And again, this is a story that we all know very well. This is the story of Nephi and his brothers when they were sent in to gather up the brass plates. And we know the story that Laban had the brass plates, the records of the Jews. Laban had those, and Lehi knew that, that it was the responsibility of his sons to go gather those plates. And again, this is not a new story, but I think it is a great reminder and for us to remember that, that you know, we it's not always perfect. And here is an example of Nephi that, that even struggles with following after the will of the Lord. And I'm on, again, I'm on page 6. I'm in the first book of Nephi, the first chapter, and I'm going to start at the 47th verse. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, being exceeding young, nevertheless being large in stature, and also having great desires to know the mysteries of God, wherefore I cried unto the Lord, and behold, he did visit me and did soften my heart. But I did believe all the words which had spoken by my father. Wherefore, I did not rebel against him like unto my brothers. And I spake unto Sam, making known unto him the things which the Lord had manifested unto me by his Holy Spirit. And it came to pass that he believed in my words. But behold, Laman and Lemuel would not hearken unto my words. And being grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, I cried unto the Lord for them. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Blessed art thou, Nephi, because of thy faith. For thou hast sought me diligently with lowliness of heart. And inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper, and shall be led to a land of promise, a land which I have prepared for you, yea, a land which is choice above all other lands. You know, and those verses stand out to me, and I use those somewhat as the preface to the story, is that as you think about the story of Nephi, if you think about specifically the story of going and getting the plates, you know, it wasn't an easy task for him to go do. And the Lord doesn't tell him in these verses. Nowhere do we read in these verses that the Lord tells him, you know, Nephi, you follow after me and life will be easy. Right? Nephi, you follow after me and there won't be trials and there won't be challenges. There won't be temptation. No, we don't see that at all. But clearly we know that there is a promise given. That same promise that is given to Nephi is given to us. Skip over to the 59th verse. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, returned from speaking with the Lord to the tent of my father. And it came to pass that he spake unto me, saying, Behold, I have dreamed a dream, in which the Lord hath commanded me that thou and thy brethren shall return to Jerusalem. For behold, Laban hath the record of the Jews, and also a genealogy of my forefathers, and they are engraven upon the plates of brass. Wherefore, the Lord hath commanded me that thou and thy brothers should go unto the house of Laban, and seek their records, and bring them down hither into the wilderness. And now, behold, thy brothers murmur, saying, It is a hard thing which I have required of them. But behold, I have not required it of them, but it is a commandment of the Lord. Therefore go, my son, and thou shalt be favored of the Lord, because thou hast not murmured. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do of the things which the Lord hath commanded. For I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which ye have commanded them. You know, and to me that verse, I guess, strikes me a little bit there. And that, again, you know, go back to the comments I made earlier, is that, you know, the Lord doesn't promise us that that path is going to be easy. You know, we read and we've seen the example of the walking along the rod of iron and that calling and that temptations and that risk of being pulled away. The Lord does tell us, though, to follow after his commandment. Continuing on the 65th verse. It came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I'm sorry, skip down the 66th verse. It came to pass that when my father had heard these words, he was exceeding glad, for he knew that I had been blessed of the Lord. And I, Nephi, and my brethren took our journey in the wilderness with our tents to go up to the land of Jerusalem. And it came to pass that my brethren did consult one with another, and we cast lots which of us should go into the house of Laban. And it came to pass that the lot fell upon Laman, and Laman went in unto the house of Laban. And he talked with him as he sat in his house. And he desired of Laban the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass which contained the genealogy of my father. And behold, it came to pass that Laban was angry and thrust him out of his presence, and he would not that he should have the records. Wherefore he said unto him, Behold, thou art a robber, and I will slay thee. But Laman fled out of the presence and told the things which Laban had done unto us. You know, and again, you know, those verses stand out to me as, you know, the the direction and the guidance and the communication that Nephi had with God and with Lehi, and that the knowledge that they had that they were to go and get these plates of brass. And we know, because we've read the story and we understand, that they do eventually get the plates of brass. But this first attempt, they did not get the plates. And you know, I draw that comparison in our lives, is that there are times when we confidently know that or at least we feel comfortable in the direction that we go, and we hit a wall, we hit a barrier, we hit a roadblock. And that does not mean that it's the end of the Lord's will. It does not mean that we are told no. But it means that we have to act. We have to take a step. And that without taking that step, we don't know the will of the Lord. And that we seek after Him and we pray to Him. And eventually we have to take that leap of faith and we have to take that step. Continuing on. 74th verse, and we began to be exceeding sorrowful, and my brethren were about to return unto my father in the wilderness. But behold, I said unto him, that the Lord liveth, and as we live, we will not go down unto our father in the wilderness until we have accomplished the thing which the Lord hath commanded us. Wherefore, let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. Therefore, let us go down to the land of our father's inheritance. For behold, he left gold and silver and all manners of riches. And all this he hath done because of the commandments of the Lord. For he knowing that Jerusalem must be destroyed because of the wickedness of the people. For behold, they have rejected the words of the prophets. Wherefore, if my father should dwell in the land after that he hath commanded to flee out of the land, behold, he would also perish. Wherefore, it must needs be that he flee out of the land. And behold, it is wisdom in God that we should obtain these records, that we might preserve unto our children the language of our fathers, and also that we may preserve unto them the words which had been spoken out of the mouth of all the holy prophets, which had been delivered unto them by the Spirit and power of God, since the word began, even down unto the present time. And so the barrier, the roadblock, the wall in front of them, they've hit it, and they've seen that, but they know that they have to continue on. And so now they go into their second attempt, continuing on at the 84th verse. And it came to pass that after this manner of language I did persuade my brethren, that they might be faithful in keeping the commandments of God. It came to pass that we went down to the land of our inheritance, and we did gather together our gold and our silver and all our precious things. And after that we had gathered these things together, we went up again unto the house of Laban. It came to pass that we went unto Laban, and desired him that he would give unto us his record which were engraven upon the plates of brass, for which we would give unto him our gold and our silver and all our precious things. And it came to pass that when Laban saw our property, that it was exceeding great, he did lust after it, insomuch that he thrust us out and sent his servants to slay us, that he might obtain our property. It came to pass that we did flee before the servants of Laban, and we were obliged to leave behind our property, and it fell into the hands of Laban. And it came to pass that we fled into the wilderness, and the servants of Laban did not overtake us, and we hid ourselves in the cavity of a rock. So here again is the second attempt, and you could use the phrase, they struck out, you know, and they've hit that barrier, and they've hit that roadblock. And we know, again, because we've read the story, and we understand that it is not the end, and it doesn't change that the will of the Lord, but it does reinforce to us that understanding, that knowledge of, is we're going to hit those barriers, and we're going to hit those roadblocks. But we know that they know what is right, and they've been commanded by God to go do this and to gather these records. And so they have to continue on. So continuing on to the 93rd verse, or I'm sorry, the 90th verse. Sorry, 91st verse. And it came to pass that Laman was angry with me, and also with my father, and also was Lemuel, for he did hearken unto the words of Laman. Wherefore Laman and Lemuel did speak many hard words unto us, their younger brothers, and they did smite us even with a rod. And it came to pass, as they smote us with a rod, behold, an angel of the Lord came and stood before them. And he spake unto them, saying, why do you smite your younger brother with a rod? Know ye not that the Lord hath chosen him to be a ruler over you, and this because of your iniquities? Behold, thou shalt go up to Jerusalem again, and the Lord will deliver Laban into your hands. And after that the angel spoke unto us, he departed. And after that the angel had departed, Laman and Lemuel began again to murmur, saying, how is it possible that the Lord will deliver Laban into our hands? Behold, he is a mighty man, and he can command 50. Yea, even he can slay 50, then why not us? And it came to pass that I spake unto my brethren, saying, let us go up again unto Jerusalem, and let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. For behold, he is mightier than all of the earth. Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50? Yea, or even than his tens of thousands. Therefore, let us go up, let us be strong like unto Moses, for he truly spake unto the waters of the Red Sea. And they divided hither and thither. And our fathers came through out of captivity on dry ground. And the armies of Pharaoh did follow and were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. Now behold, ye know that this is true, and ye also know that the angel hath spoken unto you. Wherefore, can ye doubt? Let us go up. The Lord is able to deliver us, even as our fathers, and to destroy Laban, even as the Egyptians. Now when I had spoken these words, they were yet wroth, and did still continue to murmur. Nevertheless, they did follow me up until we came without the walls of Jerusalem. And it was by night, and I caused that they should hide themselves without the walls. And after that they had hid themselves, I, Nephi, crept into the city, and went forth towards the house of Laban. And I was also led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things which I should do. Nevertheless, I went forth. And as I came near unto the house of Laban, I beheld a man, and he had fallen to the earth before me. He was drunken with wine. And when I came to him, I found that it was Laban. And I'm going to stop there because, again, we know the story. And the story ends that Nephi is directed to end the life of Laban. And I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus in the readings up to the point where I stopped is that, you know, understanding the will of God and taking that step, you know, all too often you can go to any number of seminars and go to I kind of chuckle a lot of times. I go to these different seminars for work and all telling you different ways of doing things and different things of approaching things. I'm on this team for a company, and we're redesigning a completely new process. And being a process person, I'm not, and so it's kind of funny for me to be involved with this a little bit. But it is, it's always somewhat comical to me is that as we look at things in our lives, and as we are guided, just like I'm on this team, you know, it's I can draw out all kinds of plans, and we map out processes, but ultimately we have to take a step. Right, a plan or a desire or a goal means nothing until we take that step. Now, it's important to put our goals, and it's important to put our plans, and it's important to make those commitments. It's important to us to pray unto the Lord that we know His will. But we have to take a step, right? We have to be guided, and we have to let the Lord work in our hearts. And much like Nephi, clearly, we see that the Lord worked in his life, that the Lord guided him and directed him in this. I want to go to another story, and I want to go to one that maybe doesn't turn out as well for the servant of the Lord. But again, it does not distract from and it does not take away from the importance of understanding and following after the Lord's will. Turn with me to Mosiah, the 9th chapter. And in my Book of Mormon, this is on page 256. A little bit shorter reading here, but again, it's clearly understanding. And so this is the story of Abinadi. And again, not a new story for us, but one that is a great lesson for us. And Abinadi was an individual who was called upon the Lord to go and preach the gospel to a people that had fallen away from the Lord, and preached to the people who did not want to hear and did not want to understand the will of the Lord. But Abinadi was called to do that, and he went multiple times, and this is actually the second time that Abinadi goes to these people and goes to preach to them. And Abinadi was was told not to come back. He was threatened multiple times that his life would end if he continued to preach. And so starting at the first verse in chapter 9 in the book of Mosiah, and again, I'm on page 256. And now it came to pass that when Abinadi had finished these sayings, that the king commanded that the priest should take him and cause that he should be put to death. And there was one among them whose name was Alma, he also being a descendant of Nephi. And he was a young man, and he believed the words which Abinadi had spoken, for he knew concerning the iniquity which Abinadi had testified against them. And I'd encourage you to go back multiple chapters probably starting, I don't know, maybe at the sixth chapter, roughly sixth or seventh chapter, where you start to pick up the beginnings and start to pick up the full story of Abinadi. Continuing on at the fifth verse. But the king was more wroth and caused that Alma should be cast out from among them, and sent his servants after them, him, that they might slay him. But he fled before them and hid himself, that they found him not. And he, being concealed for many days, did write all the words which Abinadi had spoken. And kind of an interesting story to pay attention there, and the beginning of a story of Alma, and a story that again that we learn, that we know, that we understand a whole different story. And I don't want to take away from the story of Abinadi, but again, another important story. But here, Alma went to the king. And Alma went to the king trying to plead the case for Abinadi. And to no avail, the king said, sent his guards after Alma. And it came to pass that the king caused, and I'm in the eighth verse, and it came to pass that the king caused that his guards should surround Abinadi and take him. And they bound him and cast him into prison. And after 3 days, having counseled with his priest, he caused that he should again be brought before him. And he said unto him, Abinadi, we have found an accusation against thee, and thou art worthy of death. For thou hast said that God himself should come down among the children of men. And now this cause thou shalt be put to death, unless thou wilt recall the words which thou hast spoken evil concerning me and my people. You know, and the story of Abinadi stands out to me so much, because it is truly the will of God that Abinadi was called. It truly was the will of God that the responsibility of Abinadi was expected and truly driven to serving God, and to the point where we know that in the story that Abinadi loses his life. And it continues on. Now Abinadi saith unto him, I say unto you, I will not recall the words which I have spoken unto you concerning this people, for they are true. And that ye may know of their surety, I have suffered myself that I have fallen into your hands, yea, and I will suffer even until death, and I will not recall my words, and they shall stand as a testimony against you. And if you slay me, you will shed innocent blood, and this shall also stand as a testimony against you the last day. And I'm going to stop there because you understand the story, and you understand what happens there is Abinadi is later killed. And so I want you to think about the comparison there, and I want you to think about, Is Abinadi, does he die, or does the story of Nephi, does this happen, and do we know that is one the will of the Lord, that one lives and one shouldn't live, and the calling and the expectation here is that clearly, we know not the understanding, and we know not the will of the Lord, and that the will of the Lord may not end out in the exact plan that maybe we have in our lives. In no way would we want to see the death of anyone, and in no way do we truly understand the will of the Lord. But we have to take that step, right? Much like Nephi, much like his brothers, they had to take that step. Much like Abinadi, much like Alma, they had to take that step. And that although it didn't end maybe in the way that we would expect, I have no doubt that it ended in the will of the Lord. I'm going to close, and I want to go to 2 Nephi, the first chapter. I'm on page 83 in my Book of Mormon. I'm going to start at the 71st through the 77th verse. Wherefore, redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law unto all those which have broken heart and contrite spirit. And unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah, which layeth down his life according to the flesh, and taketh it again by the power of the Spirit, that he may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first that should arise. Wherefore, he is the first fruits unto God, inasmuch as he shall make intercession for all the children of men, and they that believe in him shall be saved. You know that this verse is, and that calling, and that calling for us truly is that we can be saved, and that we can understand that there is truly a will that the Lord has for each of us, but we have to call unto him, and we have to take that step. My hope for each of you is that that I've shared with you some thought. My hope for you is that you go back and read all of the stories of Nephi and his brothers, or read the rest of the story of Abinadi, because I think to me they very different stories, but bring a great example into our lives. My hope is for each of you, and my prayers are for each of you as well. Thank you.